I have to confess, when I saw that we didn't have flyers actually in the bulletin for the Super Immunity program, I was scrambling around in my mind figuring out how can I figure out if we still have room in the class for people. Because what I've been wanting to, and I know that's kind of lame, I'm the lead pastor, I should know everything. Sometimes I've told myself when I've found out there's things I didn't know about the church, come on, you're supposed to, you above anyone should be the leading world expert on the English Oaks Adventist Church. But anyway, so notice I didn't say am, I said should be, about the people, about what's happening. But anyway, double checking, there is room in the class, and I want you to know that the timing of this class is absolutely amazing. Because you, if someone's not ready to be invited to the series of meetings with an ill candidate today, they are ready to be invited to the super immunity class today. Okay? And so that they can be there on Tuesday and Thursday for the next few weeks and receive a tangible benefit in their life because of the love of God working among the people of this congregation. So, after potluck, I'm going to make sure, how did we end up on the last slide? Ugh. Can you hit home on my computer? The home button, please, so that we have just one word up there, just the home button. Thank you very much, Aaron. Can you all say thank you, Aaron? Right on. Now I'll follow it up with the most important thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I even told you it was the most important thank you. Can you follow up with the most important thank you? Thank you, Jesus. Okay. I have more hope in my heart. So anyway, I'm inspired to, if we don't have enough, we'll get them printed up. But I'm inspired, despite the predictions of the temperature in our neighborhood, after the potluck sometime today, to hand out invitations to the super immunity class in our neighborhood here around the church, because it would be terrible if such a good thing is happening in our neighborhood and they don't know, okay? And I will tell you, much like Delia's story conveyed, I hope not only to the children but to us, you never know what will lead someone from where they are, if they are lost from God, all the way into God's heavenly kingdom. It could be a red flyer that says super immunity at the top. And of course, as that class progresses, we will also make sure they know about the meetings with Anil Kanda so that they can come to those as well and not only have their physical health helped, but their spiritual health transformed by the power of God and His message for our times. Let us, one more thing. I would like to invite to join me here on the platform someone that I would like to introduce to you in person. And his name is Eric Cablano. Eric, could you please join me? I got to meet Eric this last summer up at Leone Meadows Camp. I met his father a long, long time ago when I was younger than Eric at Redwood Camp Meeting. But anyway, Eric Cablano, right here, has been called by the conference, and he has accepted the call to intern as our youth pastor here at English Oaks Seventh-day Adventist Church, at least through next July, at which time he will probably be going to seminary. And let me get a microphone for you, Eric, because I think people will want to learn a few things about you. Okay, so when I met you at Leone Meadows, what were you doing there anyway?
I was working as the camp chaplain, working on making sure kids that asked for baptism and Bible study got followed up with, and kind of keeping track of all that.
Does that sound like something that we need to have happen and want to have happen here in Lodi, English Oaks, and in our wider Lodi community? I'm excited about the work that you've been doing, Eric. Now, where are you from, Eric?
My family lives up in Spokane, Washington. So I guess that's kind of where I'm from.
Oh, have you moved? Have you lived in different places?
Right before going to camp, I was in Hawaii. I'd moved to Hawaii, so I was there for 6 months.
Okay, so he comes here from Hawaii, but where were you born?
I was born in Washington.
You were born in Washington. So your dad had long left the Northern California Conference. And you were telling me some interesting things that your family does up there in Spokane, Washington, ministry-wise, when we were talking.
Okay, yeah. So my dad's big into health evangelism, and they do a lot of what they call dinner with the doctor. It's kind of doctors come in, talk about health stuff, and they have like a healthy dinner. People from the community can come. But he's starting a program. I think they actually just started it this month, where they have kind of interns come in for a 2-year period and work with doctors and the community to get the churches in Spokane involved with the community and health message.
There's an old Adventist code word for that stuff. I think it's called medical missionary work.
Yeah, so it's kind of a medical missionary training school that he started.
Wonderful. So Eric comes from that kind of background. Now, let me see. If I recall, as I've gotten to know you a little bit, you're kind of allergic to adrenaline, aren't you? Is it the opposite?
I wouldn't say I'm an adrenaline junkie. I do like rock climbing and snowboarding and action sports, but I'm safe about it. So.
You're safe about it. Okay, so he's a safe snowboarder. That's actually exactly some of the things we like about you for being our youth pastor, because I think we have some youth who like action sports, like snowboarding, rock climbing. We'll check our insurance and make sure that we have everything, and then we'll double check on your certifications and everything like that. But it sounds like to me that God has in mind exciting times ahead for the youth of English Oaks, for the youth of the Lodi area, and that he's called you, Eric, here to help lead in that. And we are so thankful to God for that. And I just want to stop right now and ask God's blessing on your ministry among us. Dear Father, thank you so much for Eric. Thank you for calling him here. Thank you for the different kinds of preparation that you have given him to be here and to minister among our kids. Father, I ask for your spirit to be upon him. I ask for your wisdom and your love and a focus on the cross of Jesus to guide him every step of the way. And I pray that there will be fruit for your kingdom here because of Eric being here as your servant. Thank you. Give him joy in all of his work. Give him joy in all of his calling. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to the team, Eric. And now I'd like to specially pray for the message this morning, that God's Spirit will touch and that his word will come alive and be sharper than any two-edged sword, quick and active, and touch our lives today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you recognizing that in ourselves we know nothing, we have nothing. Everything comes from you. And so we come to you today submitted, surrendered, asking that your Holy Spirit will speak to us through your word, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, last Sabbath, our message was ready. Today, it is set. And you, of course, recognize the sequence, as you did last time. You'll be able to predict the title of next week's sermon. Last Sabbath, ready. This Sabbath, set. Next Sabbath, thank you very much. You have passed the test. Are your students that good, George? A few of them get those good and obvious things. And of course, as we think about this, as we think about ready, set, go, in the biggest possible picture, we are looking forward to the second coming of Jesus, right? And we want to be ready, set, go on our way to cross that finish line, which will really be the beginning line of the great and good things that God has in store for us. We want to be ready, set, go on that trip. But as we have discussed, and I'm so thankful for the different people in this worship service who have led us in worship and who have continued to remind us of the great opportunity that God has brought to us as Pastor Anil Kanda is coming to speak and to share with us for 3 weeks, doing all the study, doing all of the preparations so that over those 3 weeks, the people that God has in your life already and people that you are going to meet over the course of the month of September, there are people that you've already met that are in your lives that God intends and is calling on you to invite to these meetings. And he intends and he's calling on you to right now begin that work. Are you praying for someone who is lost today? I pray that you are praying for people who don't know Jesus in your life right now. Because that is the simplest, most minimalist kind of way that our heart can resonate with the heart of God. And it's kind of a test of where we are in relationship to God and his agenda for our lives on this earth. If we don't have anyone on our hearts that we are desiring for the salvation through Jesus Christ, for them to be ready for Jesus to come, if we don't have anyone on our hearts, make that your first business right now to pray, God, put someone on my heart because I want my heart to be with your heart. He's the one who doesn't want any to perish but wants all to come to repentance. So there are people in your life right now that God has the mark on you, that you're the one that he has placed in their lives to give them the invitation that they need, to start their curiosity if they're not already curious about him and about his word and about the times that we live in. There are people already in your life. But I will tell you, I believe with all my heart, that over the course of this month of September, between now and September 29, when these meetings begin, that God is going to bring people into your lives. God is going to bring people into my life, into our lives, that he wants to be able to hear the good news of Jesus and the prophetic message for our time that brings people to faith in Jesus that will last through all of the deceptions and trials of the end times. He will bring them into our lives. And you never know where they'll be. They might be the clerk in the grocery store. They might be someone at work that you just never talk to. They might be someone you run into on the streets as you're walking downtown Lodi. They might be a new neighbor who moves into your neighborhood. God is going to bring someone into your life. Pray, as you pray for the people that are already in your life, please pray for an alertness. Pray for a state of surrender in your life where the Holy Spirit, when he tells you, I want you to share something with this person right here, that you will hear him and that you will know. And as Serge said, scary as that all sounds, maybe for some of you it sounds worse than bungee jumping or the worst ride at any amusement park you've ever seen or anything, the most frightening thing. Maybe that sounds like the most frightening thing, but as Serge was sharing with you, as you let God move you out of inertia and into action for him, you are opening the path to joys that you have not experienced before. You'll be asking yourself, why did I wait so long? So this is coming up September 29. And by the way, we're going to be having a banner probably by the end of this week. We will have a banner up. And I'll just give you away some of the strategy. My heart reaches out and has a great desire to see the immigrants who have come into our community from South Asia, reached and touched by a member of a family of immigrants from South Asia. He's from Pakistan. Anil is from Pakistan. Our mailman, Paul, he comes in every day with a turban on. And I thought, I'm going to give him and I'm going to point out the picture of Anil on the invitation, and he was so happy to see Anil, and he expressed great interest in coming to hear Anil, a fellow Indian, come, and he's not from Pakistan, he's from India, to come and hear him and the message that he will share. Pray for Paul, our mailman, that will continue. And we're going to feature the picture of Anil big in our publication, in our handbills that we're going to mail out in the community, because I believe God has a harvest of a group that we have really not touched at all. So would you pray with me for that? And And would you, like I told the children's story a few weeks ago, would you take the opportunity as you see people that look so different from you and you think they probably don't want anything to do with you, could you say a friendly hi to them as you pass them on the street and see what God does with that? And find out that they have hearts that beat like yours, who like making connection with people like you do, and they will probably, whether like the guy I got a big, beautiful, wonderful hello and good morning from, I wasn't even talking to him. It was like popping a water balloon. The love just popped out of him when he heard good morning, even not directed at him. So anyway, this is what we're preparing for as well. This is our ready, set, go for this opportunity that God has brought to us. And so, last Sabbath, our talk was about ready. And we talked about the positions that the runners at the beginning of a race get in the starting blocks. On the ready, as I have deeply studied on the internet, I don't remember what my coach told me, but on the ready, their feet are in the block. Some of you know this. And you see his hands are on the ground. And you see that basically the characteristics that define someone that's in that ready position is by being there, showing up at that spot in those starting blocks in the ready position, they are demonstrating they've had the right preparation. They have done their training. They've done their exercise. They've had their coaching. All of these things are in place. They have the right track suit. They have the right shoes, so they have the right preparation. And they are in the right place, and they are there at the right time. And of course, as we discussed last Sabbath, the single greatest, most crucial thing that you can do to be ready for Jesus to come and ready to play your part in shining his light in advance of these evangelistic meetings is for you yourself to be sure of your salvation through Jesus, to be sure of your acceptance into his family, to be sure of your surrender to him as Lord and Savior of your life, who gave his life on the cross and rose up in resurrection power that is now given to you to live for him. And so this is how we are ready for Jesus to come, and ready for these evangelistic meetings that are coming. All right, so last week was ready. Now we go to set. Ready, set, in preparation for go. What does it mean to be set? Well, you'll notice in the position that now the runner is no longer resting on the ground. Do you see that? Something has happened in the runner, and the runner is now up and set to what? Hasn't just showed up with the right preparation, hasn't just showed up saying I'm at the right time and the right place. Now the runner is set and focused on the race before him or her. That made me think about an amazing passage in Luke chapter 9. You can look there if you want to see the context of this passage in Luke. And it's a central declaration, a transformative declaration in the life of Jesus and his ministry here on earth. And it says simply this: Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. This is Jesus. Jesus, after having been with his disciples, here at this point, and by the way, in the sweep of the book of Luke, I had to, just to make sure I understood the timing of this well, I had to make sure and sit down and breeze through everything from Luke chapter 9 on to the end of the book of Luke, 24 chapters of the book of Luke, and see, is this an uninterrupted timeline that Jesus is following? Yes. From this point on, he is focused on the outcome of where he is going. Why did Jesus come? He came to die for us. He came to live for us first and then to die for us. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came so that whoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus came not to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. And so Jesus, as he came to this point in his ministry, set his heart, set his mind, set his focus. Can you see how that's what happens to the runner who's in those starting blocks? They've been at the ready position. They've been at the right place at the right time with the right preparation. And now, when they rise up, they are focused on the race before them. And not only is their mind going to the path of the track that goes around, or if it's a cross-country one, of the route that they've studied, but their mind is already where? Where do you think their mind already is? It's on the finish line. It is on the finish line. They have gone from being in the right place with the right preparation at the right time to focusing and heading themselves down the track in their minds. The mindset that is actually going to carry them once the starting pistol goes. And as I watched one video that says how to do this, it says to be ready to go on the B of bang. You know what that means? On the B of bang. Not to hear the starting pistol and say, okay, now let's go. But as soon as you hear the beginning of that pop, the B of bang, to get ready and to have the mindset that will carry you all the way down the track to the finish line. Now, I want you to notice something about what it says about Jesus and his mindset. When the time had come for him to be, what? Received up. Shouldn't it say for him to be crucified? Because that was what was going to happen in Jerusalem, right? He was going to go to Jerusalem, and my, oh my, didn't it take him setting his mind and heart to do that, knowing what was coming? He had just been to the disciples' protest, telling them about how he would be betrayed, how he would be tormented and crucified. Peter had already told him, never, Lord, no, that can't happen to you. And Jesus had told him, get behind me, Satan. Amazing thing for him to say to his disciple that he loved. He already knew what was going to happen. He had to set his mind to that. But it doesn't say when the time had come for him to be crucified that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. It says when the time had come for him to be received up. Was Jesus looking only at the cross as he headed for Jerusalem? Was he looking up to, or was he looking beyond the cross? He was looking beyond the cross. He was looking beyond the cross to when he would be raised up, to when he would go and prepare a place for us, that when he comes, he can receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we may be also. He was looking forward to the joy set before him that caused him to be able to endure the cross when the cross came up. He was looking forward to the cross and beyond. And that is how he set his mind. It calls to mind what Paul says. Remember, he says, forgetting those things which are behind and straining towards those things which are ahead, I press on to the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Do you remember that passage from the Apostle Paul? This is what was happening with Jesus. And he had so many more experiences to go through on his way to the cross. So much more teaching to do on the way to the cross. But his mind was set. He knew where he was going, and he was committed to it. He was all in. His focus was 100%. This is what it means to be set. This is what it means to follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you never get tired, because I tell you what, I'm going to be quoting this passage to you again and again in the future, because I believe it's one of the central passages for God's will for his people in this time that we have on earth before Jesus comes, in the trials that we face, and in the sacrificial calling that he calls on us to embrace, which is something that in our times that we so often forget, that he is actually calling us to a sacrificial calling. It's a calling that costs us. If anyone would come after me, Jesus said, Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Is that a life of ease? Is that a life of going with the flow? Is that a life of just finding what satisfies you and comforts you and then let the rest just go wherever it goes? No, this is a life that calls for sacrifice, but for the joy set before us. After giving us the account in Hebrews chapter 11 of this great number of witnesses, what it means to live a life of faith, of following and trusting God with the whole heart, no matter what is happening around, therefore we also, along with this group of faith people like Abraham, like Moses, all of these people, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, how do we get set? Look at what it says carefully about what it says about how we get set for this race that's before us. Let us lay aside every weight. What do weights do? They hold us down. They slow us down. They hold us back, right? Would you look in your life as you rise up to focus for this race before us, the race of life until Jesus comes and the race of being prepared for this harvest that God wants to bring for us to do our part. Let us lay aside every weight, anything that holds us back from being fully committed to Him and answering His calling. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'll warn you right now, because when you seek to follow God and surrender to Him, Satan comes to talk to you, and he talks to you from all kinds of directions. Because sometimes people hear this, let us lay aside every weight, and they start thinking of people. People that just take too much energy to love. You know what I'm talking about? Do you know what I'm talking about? And Satan whispers to us, well, if you could just get that person out of your life, then you would be free to follow Jesus and do all your part and have the freedom to work for Him and enjoy the abundant life that you were given. Do you think that's really what that means? To God, from a God of love who has called us to be a people of love, self-sacrificing love, the person you might be thinking that you should just as well have out of your life as a weight that's holding you back might be the very person that God has in your life to teach you the depths of His love and to shine through you so that they can go all the way from here to heaven with Jesus. So this isn't talking about people. Now, if it's talking about friends that you just hang out with them to carouse and party and sin and all of this kind of thing, that might be a factor. God might be calling you to let go of friendships, but not in your heart to let go of people. Do you understand what I'm saying? He knows what you need. You need the Holy Spirit. So let us lay aside every weight. Oh, and now very personal. And the sin that so easily ensnares us. This is part of what he's talking about, of getting from just being in the right place at the right time to actually being ready to run that race. Are you in favor of sin in your life? I appreciate the out loud answer, but I want you to just have a moment with the Holy Spirit in the quietness of your heart to answer that question honestly in your heart. Are you in favor of sin in your life? Sometimes people talk about it conversationally and say, well, you got your sin and I got my sin. And the unspoken follow-up to that is, and that's okay. Is it? Is it okay for us to have our sin? That represents actually a commitment to sin. Can you be committed to Jesus and committed to sin at the same time? Let me ask you what I hope is a great comfort to you as a follow-up question. Can you be committed to Jesus and struggle with sin at the same time? Yes, you can. My little children, I write these things to you in order that you may not sin, but if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And of course, as we've looked at before in 1 John 1:9, not only he doesn't abandon us in that struggle and say, you know, just keep on struggling, this is always going to get you. No, he promises us victory. And he calls on us in his power, in the power of the resurrection that Ephesians chapter 1 says he gives to us. He calls to us to strive with sin, to strive in surrender, because he has the victory over those sins for us, for over those sins that so easily beset us. He does not abandon us to struggle, but he does not call us to condemn ourselves and to say, there's no hope for me, because we are struggling. But one thing is very sure. He can't be Lord, and sin can't be Lord at the same time. We need to commit against the sins that so easily beset us. And by the power and grace of God, open our hearts and minds to the way of escape that he has prepared for us, that we may be able to bear any temptation that comes to us. And then, I love this, as it goes on, it says, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Is this a sprint? Is the Christian life that he's called to us to live between now and when Jesus comes, is it a sprint? No, it's not a sprint. It's a cross-country, Mr. Brassington right there. I think you're a cross-country coach, aren't you? New teacher at the academy. What can you do but nod? Thank you. Yeah, this is a cross-country. This is a marathon. And thank God he is with us in this marathon. And what is the secret? It's the same secret that Jesus had. You remember when he set his face towards Jerusalem? Was he looking simply at the cross? Or was he looking beyond at the great things that the cross was going to bring to him, bringing you into his family? Was he looking just at the cross, or was he looking beyond? He was looking beyond. And so, this is what it is. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look at that. That's how Jesus did it, and that's how you're able to do it. Now, as we think about these meetings coming up, what's the joy set before you? Is there anyone in your life that you would just as soon they go to hell? Oh, I saw your eyes bug really big, Dr. Narvaez. You're an ophthalmologist. Why should I be surprised? Is there anyone in your life that you would just as soon they go to hell? Think about that honestly. And I'm glad I believe you when you say that. But think about how we live our lives. Is there anyone in our lives that we're not doing anything to help them on their way to heaven? Is there anyone? The joy set before you is the people that you love, which there are the people in your family and the people in your friends that you have those strong feelings of love for. But he's actually called us also to love the people that we just see, the people out in traffic, all of these people that we run into of high and low position as society looks at it. Every last one, no matter what their politics or anything, these people, the joy set before us is these people's destiny changing from being lost to being saved in God's kingdom. From having a place in heaven and the abundant life of walking and living with Jesus here and now as part of his family before us. This is the joy set before us as we look at these evangelistic meetings coming up. That's what drove Jesus, was the joy set before him. What is the joy set before you? I want you to have faces come up in your mind right now of people. And by the way, I think that one of the ways that Satan has dulled us and made us ineffective in reaching out to people to bring them into God's family is by this sense that pervades our society that there's really no such categories as lost and saved. That everyone's just kind of going along, doing the best they can, and no one could really be lost, could they? But Jesus said it. The apostles said it. Scriptures say it. This is real, this great controversy between good and evil, this decision that's before every person. Whose family, whose side am I going to be on? Am I going to be on the side of self and getting my own way and rebellion against any authority of God that tries to call me into his ways? Or am I going to be on God's side, accepting his free grace and giving my life unreservedly to the one who gave everything for me? There is saved, there is lost. Jesus said when someone comes to believe in him, they have crossed over from death into life. The joy set before us is that the people in our lives could make that transition to cross over from death into life. And these meetings, your opportunity to invite people to participate in them, you yourself participating in them, is the opportunity to make that eternal difference for people that we love. Isn't that good news? This is what it means to be set. Start focusing on those faces. Start focusing on those people. I know you already have, many of you, about many people. Now, I want you to see something. I'm going to quickly go over this. So, for set, you're in the right stance. You're up and ready to run. You have the right focus. What's the right focus? Focusing on Jesus and focusing on the salvation of people that he loves and wants in his family more than you could ever understand. And listening. We didn't actually talk about that, but it's kind of obvious, isn't it? If the runner is up in the right stance and they're not listening for the starting gun, how's the race going to go? You have to be listening to the one in charge. Now, I want you to watch this. This illustrates for me what it means to be waiting on the Lord, to be in the right stance, to be focused and ready for what the Lord has for us. This is from the little lake that I live nearby, Wallace Lake. So if you will watch this and see what you can learn from a great blue heron. Watch this heron. Is he at the right place at the right time? Is he? He's there. Can you see him? Here, let me help you out. There he is, right there. He's at the right place and the right time. I think as he, as time goes on, he finds out that he needs to move just a little bit. He's at the right place and the right time. Hold on, this is about a minute. Boy, you really can't see it, Janine, can you? Oh, can you see over there? Yes. Okay, now he's going to move just a little bit, okay? He's not quite at the right place, and he's getting at the right place. He knows there's something good for him. He knows there's a joy set before him, and so he's ready for it. Even though he looks still, he's not doing nothing. He's not just relaxing. This is what it means, as I understand it, to wait upon the Lord, like it says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. He's waiting on the Lord, and then, wait for it, boom! The joy set before him has materialized, right? He saw that fish. I have another video from the same day of one trying to, who got the wrong prize in his eyes. It was a giant bullfrog that he couldn't swallow, and he had to hang on to it and then give up. But anyway, you see how that worked? Was he waiting around, or was he actively waiting for what God had for him? He was not waiting around for something to happen. He was actively, focusedly waiting. Now, I want you to see him. You know, the heron looked very confident, didn't he? Heron looked like he knew what he was doing. Looked like he knew how to fish and everything. There was nothing weak looking about that heron. It was all focus and everything. Maybe you can relate more to this little guy. Now, this is in my backyard last year, about a year ago exactly. This guy has never flown. Now, if you heard the soundtrack, you would hear, it doesn't have a soundtrack available to you, sound team, so don't worry. You would hear a whoop, whoop, whoop off in the distance. And guess who that is? I don't know how to tell, but it's either mama or daddy calling this little birdie to do what it has never done before. Does this birdie look at ease? Does it look like it's saying, I got this. Just let me at it. No. He's looking more like, I gotta do this. I think I can. And just as fast as that, sorry, I'm not a faster cameraman. But just as fast as that, finally, he just goes for it. He was at the right place, at the right time, with the right preparation, meaning sitting in the nest, taking whatever mama and daddy put in his mouth, and then going through a period of time of playing and flapping the wings and strengthening them up and everything like that. But then it finally came the time where if he had to decide, am I a flyer or not? Am I going to be what I was created to be or not? And that's the moment where we find ourselves today, right here, right now. We find ourselves here at the beginning of the race because the rest of the race goes on from right here, right now, where you are. And the question for you and me is, are we going to be what we were created to be or not? Are we going to be what we were recreated to be or not? Are we going to be all-in followers of Jesus, shining for him, helping him with his dream to get as many people in his family as possible or not? Because that's why we're here. That's why we're poised on the edge of this nest, wondering if we're going to fly or not. We are here to be his people, confident in what he has given us, and longing and desiring like him to be part of his work of salvation in this world for the others around us. Are you in? Do you want to be in? You know, like Jesus said to that father of the demon-possessed boy who had all those fits, you know, do you believe? And he said, I believe, help my unbelief. Even if you want to be in, God takes that as a starting place, but you can't just stay wanting to be in. There's lots of people that want to be in the game that stay in the sidelines the whole time and never get any part in the victory. Do you want to be in? It's time to choose to be in. And so whatever way God is putting it on your heart to be ready, to be set, do it. You know this guy, right? Not personally, but I want you to notice one difference between this guy and this guy. Do you notice the difference? Fastest man in the world doesn't look down when he's set. Fastest man in the world is focused completely on where he's going. And so it is with us as we follow Jesus. As we are here now, let us set our focus on Jesus and let us set our focus and our hearts with him in his great call to salvation that he sends to this world now. Will you join me in prayer, asking him to set us up as he needs us to be? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Like the song says, would we be free from our burden of sin? There's power in the blood. That every person in this room can be free from the guilt that holds us back, free from the sin that holds us back because of the power of Jesus, not because of our grit and determination, not because of our training, but because of what Jesus has done, dying on the cross for our sins and raising again in victory, interceding for us now, completing the work of judgment on our behalf according to his grace. There's power in the blood. And thank you also that as we think of that song, would we do service for Jesus, our King? There's power in the blood. Jesus, we want to claim that power this day. We want to claim that power in our lives now. We want to come to you right now saying, thank you for our salvation. Thank you for forgiving our sins, deep as they have been. Thank you for giving us eternal life. Thank you for your Holy Spirit to give us life and power to live a new life, overcoming temptation, overcoming sin, growing in grace in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, Father, as we look just less than a month ahead of now, thank you that the power to do service for Jesus our King, the power to play our part to bring people into the family of God is also through the power of the blood. We claim that power. We ask you if our hearts are cold, please move us. Please shake us up. Please make us alive in you with the love that drove you to the cross and beyond. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Won't you join me as we sing together a song of our love for each other and our love for God, that we can't wait to be back with each other, and we really can't wait for Jesus to come, that we can always be together with him and each other. If you'd like, you can stand with me as we sing this song in a cappella together as an act of love to God and each other. God be with you till we meet again. By his counsels guide, uphold you. With his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet.